What does this mean for Jalen, the trade piece? It's different now. I'm not going to say it's better. I've seen a lot of people saying that this now makes him more tradable. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's true. It doesn't make him less tradable, I don't think, either, because he is an expiring contract now. He's just a different asset. And teams that would be trading for him would now be doing so for a different reason. Had they picked up that option, and this is a guess, this isn't sourced. My guess is they talked to people around the league and they asked teams, would you consider him a better asset with the team options, you know, picked up or without it, and got whatever kind of feedback. I'm not saying they're acting on that feedback either. I'm just saying that that's probably conversations that they had with other teams. But the reason I say he's a different trade asset and not a better or a worse one is because if you pick up the option, a team would be that acquired him would be acquiring him with the notion of like, we can fix him, right? Think of what the Dodgers have done over the years with Justin Turner, Max Muncy, Blake Treinen, and so on and so forth, right? They've done it a lot with pitchers. They get these pitchers who these teams give up on, or they get these players, Chris Taylor's another one, that these teams give up on, and then they either make a tweak to their pitching approach or to their pitching, you know, delivery, or they make a tweak to hitting approach or to the actual swing, and the player becomes a more productive player. And, you know, now the Dodgers now bought low on a player, developed that player, and then reap the rewards for, you know, flipping that player and it, not even like, you know, flipping implies that they move the player, but like literally just having that player now being a better and more productive one that they got for bargain basement price because another team gave up on him. Well, if you're another team and you're interested in doing that with Jalen Hood-Schifino, it doesn't make like you would prefer that he had that option picked up and you would have him cost controlled for the next 1 year. And then you can make that decision again after the next year, depending on how that time went while you had him in your organization. When you take him off of that, when you decline the team option, now he is just an expiring salary. And again, I repeat, according to Bobby Marks, and I actually did made some calls on this. So this is what Bobby Marks tweeted out earlier. In the event Hood-Schifino is traded this season, the $4 million declined option is the maximum he could sign with as a free agent with the acquiring team. Same goes with the Lakers. Los Angeles has $176 million in committed salary next season, $10 million below the projected tax threshold and well beneath the second apron. So I thought that I was reading that wrong because it doesn't make any sense to me. But so essentially, if a team trades for Jalen with that team option declined, they essentially put themselves into the situation that the Lakers are in now, having declined the option, where if you buy trading for him at the end of the season, his contract is going to expire, and then you now can re-sign him, but you can only re-sign him to that $4 million option, which means that if a team trades for Jalen and he plays well, and some team out there is like, well, shoot, I want to sign this guy for $4.1 million. That team that trades for him is then at a disadvantage in trying to trade or in trying to bring him back or keep him after developing him and getting him to the point where another team might be interested in re-signing him to the extent of $4.1 million. And now look, the likelihood of that is probably pretty low, having watched Jalen play basketball now. I don't think he is currently and maybe never will be an NBA player. So like teams just aren't that worried about that disadvantage. And, you know, now if a team trades for him, it will simply be as an expiring contract, which again is a different spot than he was going into even this last offseason, right? So the Lakers have given up on his upside, and if they canvass the league and were met with kind of a lukewarm response to what he would look like on an expiring versus a 1+1, you know, for the team option, then, you know, it would imply that like the league has kind of given up on his upside as well. And that kind of appears to be the case, has appeared to be the case for the last couple transaction windows when the Lakers have had conversations and included Jalen's name in these trades. And teams were just kind of like, I mean, sure, as a throw-in, but he's not like an asset that we would be excited to acquire for whatever it is that you're asking of us. So yeah, it's tough again for to hear all of this if you're Jalen, because you go from being a 17th overall pick, somebody that the Lakers were really excited about, and somebody who like had real promise as an NBA player. You go from that to, yeah, you're just a cap maneuver now, or a tax maneuver now, you know, only a year later, when all you've had to show for yourself is 21 games in the NBA. It's just tough, man. I hate seeing all of this because, obviously there's no reason not to root for the kid, and you know, it kind of puts his career in real jeopardy here. Now, as far as like Jalen's future and like what the Lakers are thinking here, if I am Maxwell Lewis, we already saw what happened to Colin Castleton. If I'm Cam Reddish, if I'm, you know, any number of players, you don't have to worry about this if you're Bronny, because you're Bronny. But like, if you're one of those players at the end of this roster that you can't quite see a path to minutes this year, and you know, the Lakers just sent a pretty clear message to those kinds of players, like, yeah, we're willing to eat that loss, or we are willing to admit to that failure simply to get the flexibility back by eating that failure. If I'm any of those players, I feel a lot more nervous now than I did 24 hours ago. And I think that 3-0 start that the Lakers enjoyed was, you know, kind of sent a message through the organization of like, ooh, we actually could be legit. Not that they are, not that they aren't, not that, but I think that was the kind of jolt of optimism. Now, it followed two losses in a row, hilariously, after Anthony Davis said that they didn't want to lose two games in a row. That lasted one game, but I think the organization kind of recognizes, okay, you know, because remember at media day, you had Rob telling everybody, yeah, we're focused on development. We are going to really work to, you know, grow internally, and we are going to invest into the future and all of that stuff. Now you look at it, and Max seems to have regressed this year compared to last year. Colin Castleton is no longer in the organization, obviously, what just happened here with Jalen Hood-Schifino. Yeah, they did draft Dalton Knecht. And yeah, they did replace Castleton with Koloko, who was also youngish. But like, you would normally, if you're talking like developing for the future, you would have like a battalion of, you know, early 20s players who are going to develop. They don't, like, their quote unquote young core is mid 20s, basically. Coloco is 24. Dalton Kincaid, I believe, is also 24. Max Christie is a little younger. I think he's like 22. So you have that going for you. Austin Reeves was an older rookie as well. So he's like 24, 25. Like the Lakers quote unquote young core is not all that young. And by the way, it kind of makes sense, right? It makes sense that, like, all right, we're going to work to develop guys, but we can't spend years and years and years waiting for guys to hopefully become something when you have LeBron and you have Anthony Davis in their primes. So the whole, like, we are focused on development and we're going to gamify the development, you know, whatever the system, whatever weird tech bro phrases that Rob was using, it was pretty easy to see through that then. And now you look at that messaging and it looks even funnier in the light, because, you know, you have Maxwell Lewis and he's a little younger, and yeah, you have Bronny and he's a little younger. And I guess now you have Quincy Oliveri and he's a little younger. So you do have, like, some young players that can eventually develop, but, like, the notion of the only way that they were going to get better, the way that Rob was kind of telling us then at Media Day, that's kind of out the window now, right? Like, the focus now, I think, swings back to, okay, we tried that. And their attempt at trying that winds up being, like, the worst draft pick of the last couple decades. Let's actually, like, use some of our, hopefully this is the lesson that they take from this. I don't know for sure, but hopefully they looked at how all of this played out and can now say, like, okay, yeah, let's get more immediate help here with, yeah, Reeves turns 27. It's not like a young core anymore. And, you know, you have some success stories, but I think you have louder failures here. And you know, when you consider what the Lakers could have done with the Jalen Hood pick, and how that turned out, right? That's gotta be a big regret there internally. And look, like, speaking on another side of this, more on the plus side, it does help that you have an executive in Rob Pelinka who feels confident enough to just be able to go to Genie and say, hey, we screwed that up. We're going to try to trade him as an expiring this year. That one's on us. I doubt he's saying me, but, like, that one's on us. We can't do that again. Let's see what we could turn him, you know, because if you combine him and D'Lo, it's like $22, $23 million of expiring money. You have those two first round picks that you could potentially move. You have a bevy of second round draft capital that you could also move at a time when second round picks are becoming pretty valuable because of how valuable, or those second round picks are very cost controlled, even more cost controlled than first round picks. So yeah, I don't understand Pale Fox's point here. If you don't pick JHS, no connect. I don't think that's true. Like, if you're like, that's, I think that's some copium there, than more so than, like, reality. It's like, could you have landed at the 17th pick, or would you even need connect if you turned that first round draft capital? And, like, if you would have combined Mo Bamba and Malik Beasley's expiring contracts at the time, that would have been nearly $20 million. You combine that with first round draft capital, and that would get you, like, Kuz. Like, Kuz could be a Laker right now. So you could ask yourself, would you rather have Kuz or connect right now, you know, or a player like Kuz or connect right now? And there's a chance you could have both, you know. But anyway, that's the situation here. And we'll see how all of this plays out as he, Jalen, continues on his career and tries to regain his footing, as the Lakers try to move on from Jalen and from the mistake of using a draft pick and then using it on him specifically. And you know, here we are. And look, again, hand of God, I'm sorry. Like, trust me, I have been beating myself up all day for this one. It really says something how annoyed I was over missing this like this, that the Dodgers won a World Series yesterday, and I didn't spend all day just kind of soaking all of that in. Like, it was this needled me like just constantly in the back of the neck, and here we are. All right. So anyway, I'm going to end this one here and go trick-or-treating with my children. To all of you who are going to go trick-or-treating tonight, or if you're going to Halloween parties, please be safe out there. Please, you know, if you're going to be drinking, hop in an Uber. If you're hosting people and they're getting ready to leave and they don't look like they're ready to go, trust me, it's much easier to just pay for their Uber than watch their lives or somebody else's lives get ruined by making that wrong decision there. It is a big drinking night. It is a big busy night. There's a bunch of people out on the roads, either walking or driving. And I just hope that everybody enjoys tonight in a safe and responsible manner. All right. So, I got to make sure we don't have any super comments. Doesn't look like we do. I guess one more thing to talk about here, just really, really quickly. The Lakers told us 2 weeks ago that 2 weeks from then we would be getting a Jared Vanderbilt update. I would hope that we're getting that soon, because that's obviously a very important update. It would also say a lot if the beat reporters don't ask about it or if we don't really get one. But you know, and look, like even if we do get that update, I wouldn't really trust too much until we actually see Vanderbilt out on the court. But it would be good to, you know, hear that he's practicing fully, or that he's, if I hear ramping up one more time, I'm going to kick a beagle. But yeah, we'll hopefully hear a little bit of information on that. I still think we're a couple weeks away from hearing about Wood because of when he got his surgery. So, you know, but hey, if we get an update there, cool too. And yeah, that's what to look for in the next couple days. All right. Now that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. Again, please hit that subscribe button here on YouTube. If you guys are watching, if you guys are watching on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@Lakers Lounge to help the show grow there. If you guys are listening to this in the morning, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. And until the next time you guys hear from me, which I believe, yeah, today's Thursday, so you probably won't hear from me again until Sunday evening. I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day and weekend. And please, please have a safe weekend. Enjoy that parade tomorrow, all of you who celebrate that one. To all of my people who are celebrating Dia de los Muertos, have a good time there too. And I will talk to y'all again on Sunday.